Well, good morning. God bless you. It's certainly a privilege for me and my sons to be here this day. We're going to open in Acts chapter 10 this morning. If you'd be so kind, take your Bibles, go to Acts chapter 10. Initially, as a Christian, there's a challenge of getting to know the Bible, of gaining an accurate knowledge of the Bible. And then as you learn more and more about the Bible, there's also an increased challenge to believe what you know. And one question that's good to ask yourself is, do I believe what God's Word says? And at times, I think if all of us are honest, that we can be very challenged to believe what God's Word says. And I think this morning we'll point out some of that challenge. There's a verse in Acts chapter 10 that in many respects is a summary of a lot of the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry during the gospel period. And it's verse 38. It says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, with Holy Spirit, and with what? Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." God was with his son wherever he went, and certainly his son was with his father. When it says that he went about doing good, well, we can understand that because Jesus Christ always did the will of his father, and his father is all good. So if he was always doing his father's will, then everything he did was good. Have you ever really considered what this good that Jesus Christ went about doing is? I mean, what's an example of one of the good things that the Lord Jesus Christ did? Anybody? Okay, healings. What's an example of physical healings that Jesus Christ did? Can you think of an incident or a record? Okay, healing of a blind man. Actually, he did that repeatedly. Many different occasions, he healed the blind. Could you imagine, you know, not having physical sight and then having it restored, or in some instances, people saw for the first time? What joy would that bring to not only the person who got healed, but everybody that loved that person? You know, can you think of another example or another type of healing that Jesus Christ evidenced, that he manifested? Healing the lepers, you know, now in our day and time we don't have much leprosy around here, but, you know, there's other dread diseases, cancer or AIDS. You know, imagine the joy, imagine the deliverance. And wouldn't it have just been such a privilege to have been in the fellowship and to have observed these great works that Jesus Christ did? I think of the record of the woman that had an issue of blood for 12 years. I mean, for many women, it's very difficult to have an issue of blood for just a short period of time. 12 years is a long time. And it says that, you know, she spent everything that she had, you know, seeking help, and only got worse. Can you imagine just how great a work that was for her? You know, how about the raising of the dead? Have you ever lost a loved one? You know, somebody falls asleep and it's a very sad occasion. You know, imagine, you know, the sorrow, for example, when Lazarus, you know, passed away. I mean, he was dead. He was in the grave. But yet after 4 days, Jesus Christ said, "Lazarus, come forth," and he was raised from the dead. Can you imagine the joy, the deliverance? Can you imagine just, you know, having seen that, having witnessed it? And we could literally take the whole hour just talking about work after work after work that Jesus Christ did, the good works of Christ during the gospel period. Now, there's a verse in Acts chapter 4 that corresponds to this. Remember in Acts 10:38, it says, "Jesus Christ went about doing good." And that's what we're considering. But Acts chapter 4... this is after the day of Pentecost. Jesus Christ has ascended into heaven. But here, this is referring to Peter and John. And Peter and John had healed a man that was lame from his mother's womb, a man who had been lame for over 40 years. He was above 40 years when this happened. And it really sort of just caused a great buzz in Jerusalem, you know, just a tremendous buzz for some people that believed it and other people that wanted to criticize it. But here, it says in Acts chapter 4, this is Peter speaking in response to some of the critics. He said in verse 9, "If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." Verse 9 is very interesting because it refers to the healing of this impotent man as being a good deed. It doesn't necessarily come through in the translation, but it's basically the same word of Acts 10 where it says Jesus Christ went about doing good. Here is the noun form where it says it was a good deed. What is this? This is Peter and John now doing the works that Jesus Christ had done previously. You know, they were now going about doing good. And what did they do? What good deed did they do? They healed this man. Does this remind you of any verse from the Gospels? Can you think of a verse? How about we'll look at it. John chapter 14. I mean, to read in the Gospels about the walk of Jesus Christ is so awe-inspiring. It stands par excellence. It's just something that, you know, to even think to attain to seems sort of beyond, you know, the scope of comprehension. But yet you read in the book of Acts that after Jesus Christ ascended, that others also did the good deeds that Jesus Christ had been doing. In fact, that which we read in Acts chapter 4 is a fulfillment of what we're going to read here in John chapter 14, verse 12. Jesus Christ said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me..." So this is qualified as being believers, right? People that believe on Christ. "He that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do what? Also." Now, you know, I started this sharing by saying, you know, do we believe what God's Word says? You know, this is a verse when it says, "the works that I do," you know, we talked about a couple of them. We could talk for many hours about the works that Jesus Christ did. "The works that I do, shall he," the believer, "do also." Now ask yourself the question, do you believe that? I mean, it's a good thing to ask yourself, isn't it? You know, do you believe that you can do the works of Jesus Christ? He said we could. Others have demonstrated that they could because they did it. And actually, we have demonstrated the works of Jesus Christ. Certainly not in the fullness that he did. But we have seen healing. We have seen the casting out of devil spirits. We have seen miraculous protection. We've seen miraculous provision. The works that I do, shall he do also. But that verse just stands here, and you got to, like, stretch up to believe it, huh? Me? You know, oh, maybe Bob and Barney, and, you know, they can, but me? Well, he that believes on me, the believer, the works that I do, shall he do also. So that's quite a verse to consider. But the verse doesn't stop there, because then it goes on to say, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my what? Father. Now, it's a stretch to get to the good works that Jesus Christ did, okay? But wait a minute, you're going to tell me I'm going to do greater works than Jesus Christ? I'm not the one who wrote the book. Greater works than these shall he do. Why? Because Jesus Christ went unto his Father. Now, there must be, after the ascension, because that's when he went unto his Father, there must be now greater works that can be done than even what Jesus Christ did in the Gospels. Look at Acts, or John chapter 16 for a second. Okay, I mean, I was kind of tracking with you on that, doing the same kind of works, but now greater works? John chapter 16, in verse 7, Jesus Christ said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you." Remember back in John 14, the greater works were tied to Jesus Christ going unto his Father. And here, the going unto his Father is tied to him then being able to send the gift of Holy Spirit, the Comforter. So the greater works are tied to the ascension, which is tied to the coming of Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1. You know, have you ever made healing available to somebody? Say, you know, I can heal you. You know, he made deliverance available. You know, God can help you with that. You know, believe. You believe. The Word says that I can do what Jesus Christ once did. Well, how about believing that we can do even greater works? You know, perhaps it's very important for us to understand what the greater works are. Acts chapter 1, in verse 4, it says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence." These are words that Jesus Christ spoke to his followers towards the end of his first coming. This is after his resurrection. This is right before his ascension. And what's he speaking of? The coming of Holy Spirit. Remember, it's expedient. It's good for you that I go away. Because if I don't go away, I can't send the Spirit unto you. See, he's about ready to go away. And he's preparing them for the coming of Holy Spirit. Verse 6, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" You know, they still were thinking politically. You know, they were thinking sense knowledge-wise. "He said unto them, It is not for you to know the times of the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Right after he spoke these words, look what it says. "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their," what, sight. This is the actual recorded event of Jesus Christ going unto his Father. Remember, greater works than these shall you do. Why? Because I go unto the Father. Now he's gone unto the Father. It says a cloud received him out of their sight. You know, you read in the Gospels about the things Jesus Christ did, and it's mind-blowing. I mean, just, you know, so awesome. Well, how about this as an event? You know, Jesus Christ is there. He's teaching him. He's talking about the coming of Holy Spirit. Then as he spoke these things, a cloud received him out of their sight while they beheld. Do you think maybe there were a few tongues hanging out? You know, he'd done some far out things, but man. And then two angels appear, you know, and they go back to Jerusalem. When they get to Jerusalem, they wait, as they were instructed to do. And we know that from this point of the ascension, 10 days later, is the great day of Pentecost. What occurred on Pentecost? Well, in verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with Holy Spirit, the gift of Holy Spirit. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hey, Jesus Christ has ascended. He spoke of greater things to come, of greater works. Now something has occurred. They have received the new birth. Was the new birth available in the Gospels? Or could anybody be born again? You know, stop and think of the new birth being a greater work. As great as getting Lazarus up from the dead was, you know what? After a period of time, Lazarus then died again. When you get the new birth, what kind of life is it? Well, it's eternal life. Which is greater? I know that if we were at a cemetery and one of us raised somebody from the grave, that we would all have our minds blown. Right? How about being in a fellowship when somebody gets born again? Which is greater? Well, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, the greater work is the new birth. You know what else they did right after they spoke, or right after they got born again, what did they do? They spoke in tongues. Had anybody spoken in tongues prior to this?
No.
The first time. See, these are the greater works that Jesus Christ spoke about that would become available after he went unto his Father. It's good for you that I go away. You know, they didn't think that. And just as in our day and time, people might exalt other works above the new birth or above speaking in tongues, that is not the record of God's word. According to God, the new birth, and in our part in playing in those doing those good works, is to help someone to the new birth. And then speaking in tongues are greater works than those works that Jesus Christ did upon earth. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that? Because, again, it's very important once we gain a knowledge of God's word that we believe it. Maybe the first part of John 14:12 is challenging to believe because it seems like it's so awesome, so difficult, so way up there. Have any of you ever taught someone how to get born again? I remember, I'm not sure if it was you, Luke, or I think it was maybe Davey. He's not here. Our other son's not here. But I remember we had a family, a neighborhood family that our kids would play sports with. And the family, they're nice people, they're friends of ours, but they were avowed atheists. You know, they were scientific people, and they were atheists. And so whenever we share a little of the word with them, I was like, you know, weren't into it. But I remember, I think it was Davey. He was playing soccer with their daughter. And they had some time together, and he came back and he said, you know, that Katie girl, I got to tell her about Jesus Christ being Lord and about God raising him from the dead. And you know what, Dad? She believed it. I think Davey is about 9. You know what, that's my son, the 9-year-old, doing the greater work. You know, I shared this in some of this in Sacramento last weekend, and one of the little girls there said, you know, I did that at school. Have you spoken in tongues? Well, the Bible says that when you speak in tongues, it's a greater work than what Jesus Christ did here in the gospel period. The challenge to believe that isn't in terms of its difficulty, because it's one of the simplest things you'll ever do is speak in tongues. The question is whether we really believe what God's Word says. You know, during the first century, they made great progress because they believed what the Lord Jesus Christ had given them to do. They went about doing good. They did the good works of Christ, and they did the greater works. And through these early chapters of Acts, there were literally thousands of people who got born again. And it was normative that at the time of the new birth, they would lead them into speaking in tongues, the greater works. Then you get up to Acts chapter 8. We'll go there. Most of this had occurred centered around Jerusalem. But because of persecution and the leadership walking with God, the believers headed out into other areas and they took God's word with them and moved the word. And one of those believers is named Philip. And in verse 5, it says, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and they that were lame were," what? "Healed. And there was great joy in that city." So what is this? This is Philip, you know, heading out into new territory, into Samaria. He's preaching the word, and people are believing the word. And there's great deliverance. He's doing the works of Jesus Christ. Healing, casting out of devil spirits, all different kinds. And look at the result. There was great joy in that city. Now, what follows is they hit a little bump in the road. There's a little stumbling block, a little obstacle that Philip himself wasn't really able to handle. Because these people, after getting born again, after receiving the word, something occurred that had never happened before in the history of Christianity. Verse 14 says, "Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John." We used to have a little thing, I don't know if people do it anymore, but we used to have a little thing where we'd mark these words "receive" in our Bible. Does any of you have a little mark on your word "received"? What letter do you have on your... It's a D, yeah, it's a D. It's the word dekomai. There's different Greek words for "receive," but this word dekomai means to receive to yourself. You know, to receive subjectively. It says here that Samaria had received the word. They had received the word concerning Christ that Philip had preached, and that resulted in the new birth. But there's something that was of concern to the leaders of Jerusalem, so much so that they sent, you know, the two top leaders in the church, Peter and John, down to check out this situation. Verse 15, "Who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit." And that word "received," you got that one marked? You got an L on it, right? Yeah. Yeah, that they might lambano Holy Spirit. See, they had received Holy Spirit this way, but they had yet to take it and use it. They had yet to manifest it. So, you know, this is a very critical juncture in the history of Christianity because some people had gotten born again, but hadn't accompanied it with the proof of speaking in tongues. So much so that Peter and John went down to check it out. They came down to find out, why didn't these people speak in tongues? Look at the concern that they had in the first century for the greater works. Certainly Peter and John understood its significance because they came down, well, hey, you know, why haven't they manifested? You know, they came down, as it says, prayed for them that they might lambano the Holy Spirit. For as yet It was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They had received the greater work. See, Philip had done the greater work of bringing the new birth to them, but Philip didn't understand, wasn't able to lead them into the manifestation. So Peter and John come down, and it says, verse 17, then laid they their hands on them, and they lambanoed the Holy Spirit. Look at the concern the first century church had for the greater works. There's another record, Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16 is the record of Paul receiving revelation to go into Macedonia. And this historically is the first time that the Word of God has moved into Europe, what we would know as being Europe. Up till that time, it had been in the Middle East and Asia Minor. But now the Word of God is being taken into Macedonia, into modern-day Greece and Yugoslavia area. But it says in verse that when they got there, they're speaking the word. They had gotten some results. But we'll pick up the record in Acts chapter 16 and verse 16. It says, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. This woman had a soothsaying business. You know, fortune-telling. You know, red palms. You know, 1-900 psychic lines, right? And it was successful because she brought her masters much gain by doing this. But it says here that she had a spirit of divination. She had a spiritual problem. And it says in verse 17, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Was that true? Yeah. Yeah. She followed him around, crying, these guys are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. You know, I think of like, you ever go to, you know, the streets where they have the guys who are out trying to get you into the clubs or something, and then, hey, come on over, you know. In verse 18, it says, and this did she many days. Whoa. Many days. You know, why do you think Paul put up with that? I think maybe God directed him to allow her to do that. I mean, if it was me, I'd say, shut up. Get out of here. She did many days. But Paul, being grieved after these many days, Paul gets the guidance, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Hey, during those many days, what do you think this woman was hearing? The Word of God. You know, she had a spiritual problem, but possession isn't total. You know, there's part of her mind hearing the Word. Okay? Word of God's building up. See? Gets the guidance, kicks the Spirit out. Spirit comes out. Verse 19, and when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. You know, that what they were doing was the good works of Christ. Were they troubling the city? They were blessing the city. But these guys thought that their soothsaying business was out to lunch and down the tubes. And so they make accusation. Verse 21, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to what? Beat them. You know, what was Paul doing wrong? Nothing. He's doing good, doing the good works of Christ. But false accusations made, and now they've commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Now, You know, there have been times where people have been critical of me. There's been times where people have been resistant to the word. I've never taken a beating for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul did repeatedly. Here Paul and Silas did. You know, would have been 40 stripes save one, 39 lashes. You know, and now they're in prison, you know, with their feet in the stocks. And then it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas bummed out. No, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. You know, and it says that the prisoners heard them. It was like in the long line, I said, well, you guys shut up. It's midnight. You're doing singing. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, that's a good question. That's the kind of question you like to be asked. Sirs, ma'am, what must I do to be saved? It says in verse 31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same night, same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized. What is that referring to? He was born from above. He was baptized. He and all his house, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, now this has all occurred after midnight, and when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant, saying, let those men go. And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. But Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privily? Nay, verily, let them come themselves and fetch us out. Now, wait a minute. Do you think Paul forgot that he was a Roman when they started to beat him? You know, he didn't have to go through that beating. He was a Roman citizen. He couldn't do that to him. You know, they couldn't just take a Roman citizen and beat him and then put him into jail. They had rights. But yet, Paul and Silas never told them that they were Romans. Why? Well, we know that they were walking with God, that they were doing the Lord's work. Was there profit for them taking a beating and going into prison? What was the profit? The jailer and his whole house got saved. You know, look at God's word. This is the greater works. You know, people getting born again. The Apostle Paul was willing to take a beating for it. In fact, his heavenly Father knew that his faithful servant Paul was going to have to go through this, and yet he instructed Paul to shut up, go through it, there's profit. The jailer in his house got reached. What's that worth? You know, it says in the Gospels, what's it worth to a man if he gains the whole world and then loses his own soul? The new birth is worth more than all the wealth in the world. When John 14:12 says that we can do greater works, we can lead people to the new birth. What joy is in heaven when someone gets born again? What joy does it bring to our Heavenly Father when He has a new child? From God's point of view, from the Word's point of view, leading someone into the new birth is a greater work than even the works that Jesus Christ did here when he was during the gospel period. And also from God's point of view, speaking in tongues is a greater work than all those fantastic things Jesus Christ did during the Gospels. What does speaking in tongues mean to our Father? Well, it's true worship, and He desires people to worship Him that way. It's perfect prayer and praise to God. It's the means by which we can magnify God, the means by which we can speak divine secrets. It warms our Father's heart when we speak in tongues. And boy, how it warms His heart when He gets a new child into the family. So do we believe what God's Word says? We can do the works that Jesus Christ did, and we can even do greater works. Now, perhaps our challenge in the former is to really believe that we can get to that level of, and maybe in the later, it's just to see how significant the simplicity of leading someone to the new birth and speaking in tongues is. So I thought we'd be blessed to look at the good works of Jesus Christ and the greater works to start the week. Heavenly Father, as we start the week together here, we're so blessed to consider the Scripture and have it give us light and life and guidance and direction for the ministries that You've given us. Father, we're real thankful for the privilege to be able to represent the Lord Jesus Christ here upon earth, to be able to help others like He did by Himself back in the Gospels, and Father, that we can even do greater works because He has ascended unto You and the new birth is now available. Father, we love You, are real thankful for Your word, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Bob?